I'm not much of a horse rider, but it was unbelievable. And I'd got one day on the fast ride where you're just like this, and I was out of my league. But I had my contact lenses in, and I didn't realize this is a mistake. Those horses are throwing up dust and mud, and it's just all in my eyes. And I'm just like, this is terrible. I'm about to fall off of my horse. You do not want mud in your eyes if you want to be able to see. And so Jesus is putting mud in his eyes. It almost seems like he would exacerbate the man's blindness.
Pastor, author, and Bible teacher Alan Wright, welcome to Sharing the Light. We're all set to hear Alan's message from Renolda Church in Central North Carolina in a series that we've titled Peace in a Pandemic: The Power of Seeing the Crisis Through the Eyes of Jesus. Obviously, in the current situation that this whole world is going through, church has had to pivot in general, and especially with the way we worship together, and in most cases, quite virtually. So we're bringing you this very timely series preached just weeks ago by Pastor Alan to his home congregation. We trust it'll be a blessing and encouragement to you to give you strength to endure. If you're not able to stay with us throughout the entire program, I want to make sure you know how to get our special resource available to you right now. Again, very timely for our current situation. It's a CD audio album called Growing Deep in Times of Stress, and these are stressful times. It can be yours for your donation this month to Sharing the Light. As you listen to today's message on the pandemic, go deeper as we send you today's special offer. Contact us at sharingthelight.org. Or call 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. More on that later in the program. But now let's get started with today's teaching, Peace in a Pandemic. Here is Pastor Alan Wright.
The group's next shot, she writes, struck by Lois Burns, with whom I was playing, was a shanked three wood that flew sideways and hit me directly in the back of the head. She said, I can still remember how the sound exploded in my ear. She said, I'm not a crier, but I was so stunned, so frozen. For the life of me, all I could do is stand there and weep. She said, Highland Park Hospital happens to be down the street from the course, so the girls picked me up and delivered me to the emergency room via a golf cart. She's in splitting pain. She goes to the hospital and it's like, I just wanted to come out here and just take a break from all the wedding plans. And now I've been smacked in the head with a golf ball. Maybe it's cracked my skull. And they take her in for a CAT scan and an MRI. And they confirmed that her skull was fine. But listen to what she writes. The doctor asked me all these questions. Had I been experiencing headaches, bouts of dizziness? I said, no. They phoned my son, Kevin, who then came to the hospital. My husband's on the way on a business trip, or he would have come too. I was a walking miracle, the doctor said. An apple-sized tumor was taking up nearly the entire right side of my brain. It had been growing there perhaps 15 years, and more tests revealed that my brainstem was off-center, and my brain had started to swell from the pressure of it being forced to one side of my head. And they said a stroke was imminent, and the doctors were amazed that I hadn't had a stroke. The surgery was successful, and 6 weeks later, she walked down the aisle at her son's wedding, and she said, that Christmas, I received a gift from my guardian angel, Lois Burns, the woman who'd hit the shanked three wood, and she presented me a trophy of Waterford Bud Vase crown with the infamous golf ball signed that saved her life. I just love this story because it's a way of God that the moments of searing pain can actually be used by God for his glory and for our good. I wonder what good's going to come out of what is one of the hardest times the world has ever faced in modern times. It's going to come. Some of you, even right now, you realize that there are blessings in being quarantined. There are blessings in staying at home. Some of you are finding time together with family. Some of you are finding time in the Word or time of prayer. Some of you are drawing near to God in a way that you hadn't drawn near to Him before. There's a spiritual thirst that's being created in our land. There are people that whose lives are being changed in the midst of this. And I believe that there is the possibility of a global awakening spiritually. Because, you know, what we're facing in this virus is something that's invisible but infects and then spreads, and we seem to have no control over it. And what it makes us think about is wonder if there's something else that is invisible that can get inside of us and has a greater power than we can understand. Wonder if there is a God. Wonder if there's a spirit of God that can move across. People are thinking about this. Why don't we pray for a global awakening spiritually? God can bring good out of the darkest times. And what is interesting is that he uses mud in this whole story. It's very odd. Very odd. And one of the things that's interesting about this is the fact that he made the clay was a violation of Sabbath. Here's what we read at John 9, verse 14. Now, it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. So the Pharisees again asked him how he'd received his sight. And he said, he put mud on my eyes and I washed and I see. Now, some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. So here's a man who's been born blind and now he's healed. And the Pharisees care more about that somebody violated the Sabbath by making mud. Kneading dough on the Sabbath, that motion of kneading dough, was considered a violation of the Sabbath. And so the making of mud was considered a kneading action. And so it was a violation of the Sabbath in their minds. This is a weird scene. That Jesus just healed somebody and the Pharisees are caring more about a minute infraction of working on the Sabbath. You know what this means? Beloved, this means that Jesus was willing to stand up against the entire religious aristocracy to his own harm in order to advocate for a blind beggar. It means that God cares about every detail of your life, and he will stand up against all the religious spirits of the world to defend you. I love Lauren Daigle's song, Rescue, because of a lyric there in which she sings, I will send out an army to find you in the middle of the darkest night. I love that. He'll send an army out to rescue you.
That's Alan Wright. You're listening to Sharing the Light. And we'll have more teaching in a moment from today's important series.
Stress is inevitable. Becoming stressed out is optional. You can't avoid the stresses of life. Life will always bring its stressful seasons. There are busy seasons, difficult seasons, and there are seasons of outright spiritual attack. We all know that life can be stressful, but by the power of the gospel, you don't have to be stressed out in the midst of it. In fact, the stressful times of life can lead you into deeper places of trust and peace in the Lord. If you want to grow deep during stressful times, there's no better place to turn than the Psalms. There's a psalm for every season. We want to send you Pastor Allen's CD album, Growing Deep During Stressful Times, a psalm for every season. Stressful seasons come and go, but you can grow deep roots in the grace of God that will enable you to stand strong no matter what. Make your gift today and discover how to grow deep during life's most stressful times.
When you give today, we will send you today's special offer. And we're happy to send this to you as our thanks from Sharing the Light Ministries. Call us at 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. Or come to our website, sharingthelight.org. You're listening to Sharing the Light, and today's teaching now continues. Here once again is Alan Wright.
The mud was messy. Not to get gross here, but y'all, come on. If you're going to make mud, that's going to take a good bit of spittle. I just don't think about it too much. But, I mean, he didn't just have a little polite little, you know. This is like he's making mud out of this. Maybe part of it is that Jesus never did care about getting dirty if it meant helping you. It's interesting. The way that God created Adam in the beginning out of the dust. It made me wonder, did the Creator scoop down and get the dust and spit in it and turn it into clay and then mold Adam? I don't know. But the oddest thing about the whole story is that if you want someone to see better, isn't the last thing you want to do put mud in their eyes? You know, it's so great. I called this sermon, Here's Mud in Your Eye, because it's a long-standing toast of a well wish. You know, here's mud in your eye. Nobody knows where it came from. It probably came from this story, but as to say, hope it goes well with you. Well, why would it ever go well with somebody if they got mud in their eye? I was trying to remember back, when did I ever get dirt up in my eyes? And for some reason, it came back to me. My wife had won 2 trips on a game show, different story. And 3 months after we were married, we took one of those trips. It was to a dude ranch in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, and we rode horses in the Grand Tetons. I'm not much of a horse rider, but it was unbelievable. And I'd got one day on the fast ride where you're just like this, and I was out of my league. But I had my contact lenses in, and I didn't realize this is a mistake. Those horses are throwing up dust and mud, and it's just all in my eyes. And I'm just like, this is terrible. I'm about to fall off of my horse. You do not want mud in your eyes if you want to be able to see. And so Jesus is putting mud in his eyes. It almost seems like he would exacerbate the man's blindness. Maybe it's because what we need when we are spiritually blind is not the thing most people think they need. That when you're spiritually blind and you need Jesus, what you may need most is something that makes you aware of just how blind you are. In other words, and maybe there's someone listening right now, and you're watching and you're thinking about whether you really believe in God, and there's something stirring inside your heart. And what Jesus, I think, is implying here is that sometimes it feels like it gets worse before it gets better. That something inside of you starts going, I really can't see what my life's all about. I can't see what the world's all about. So in a sense, it's like the presence of Jesus made people who were going to gain spiritual vision at first feel the awkwardness or even the pain of realizing how little they actually could see. In other words, the only qualification needed for coming to Jesus Christ is to realize that without him, you are blind and you cannot see. That without him, you could never save yourself. That without him, you're lost. We don't bring any of our own merit, any of our own righteousness, or any of our good works. Instead, to be a Christian is to trust in Christ and his merits in his good work. Strange. But maybe what we need the most, and maybe one of the greatest things coming out of this horrible pandemic, is that we recognize we need God. We thirst for God. It is, in the end, a story about thirsting for God. When you can't see and oh, you've got mud in your eyes, and Jesus has said, go wash. This man just wants to wash. And it's interesting, he sends him to the pool of Siloam to wash. The pool of Siloam is a very interesting piece of biblical archaeology. There is a spring it was outside of the old city of Jerusalem called the City of David. It was the Gihon Spring. You can still see the spring today. You know, archaeology is interesting. The springs don't change. So you can go to springs, and you know that's exactly where they were getting their water 2,000 years ago. The spring itself, you can see, and it gets connected actually to a tunnel. That you go and show the tunnel is here. This is the spring. It goes down into it, and then the next slide shows the tunnel itself that was carved out. Let's go to the next slide. This you can kind of see how narrow this tunnel is. This tunnel was built during the reign of Hezekiah in Israel. Around 700 AD, he was fearful of the Assyrians that were invading, and he didn't want the Assyrians to be able to have access to the waters of the Gihon Spring. And so he had people dig a deep tunnel underneath the old city. So it goes outside the city walls around this area of the spring that was fortified and then comes into the city so that they could have water. It's fascinating. You can actually see that there was an inscription that describes how they did it on this ancient Hebrew inscription. They had people digging from opposite ends. They came and met in the middle. People wonder how they pulled off this engineering feat. It's a fascinating place. You can go there now, and at the end of it is the Pool of Siloam. And they discovered in 2004, this is where the Pool of Siloam is. And they found these ancient steps so people could go down. This would have been a place that people could have bathed. This is the place where the man was sent to come and wash the mud out of his eyes. Now, what's interesting about this is that the Pool of Siloam was a very important piece of archaeology in reference to the Festival of Tabernacles, or it was called the Feast of Booths. And just a couple chapters earlier, Jesus is in the midst of the festival. This is just a little bit earlier in John chapter 7, as they are concluding the part of the festival that was a 7-day water ceremony. It's very interesting. They would for 7 days, they would draw water, the priest would, from the Pool of Siloam, and they'd carry a golden pitcher full of the water to the temple. And as the priest neared the temple, the shofar was blown, and they sang. And they did this for 7 days. And on the 7th day, they did it 7 times. Priests bringing a golden pitcher of water out of the Pool of Siloam with all of its history, and they would take it up to the temple. And it was on that last day when they were enacting all of this that in John chapter 7, just a couple chapters earlier than where we are, John chapter 7, verse 37, on the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." So Jesus was saying, I'm the fulfillment of the water ceremony of the Festival of Booths. And then just shortly thereafter, he meets a blind man and he tells him to go and wash at the Pool of Siloam. And when he washes the mud out of his eyes from that famous pool that was the ending point of Hezekiah's famous tunnel in a very, very public place where everybody would see, suddenly the blind man could see. It's a story about seeing. And the blind man progressively sees more and more of who Jesus is. At verse 11, he just called him a man. The man called Jesus made mud and anointed my eyes. But by verse 17, he said, he is a prophet. And by verse 38, he said, Lord, Lord, I believe. And the blind man worshiped him. Jesus, give us your eyes so we can see, even in the days of pandemic, the way you see. Let's begin looking for the good that can come. Even that which is devastating and wicked, God is redemptive and can come and bring light out of it when you least expect it. One of the most moving stories of the tale of Corrie ten Boom, as she describes in her book, The Hiding Place, was about the time that she and her sister, Betsy, had found themselves in the flea-ridden barracks of the Ravensbrück concentration camp. She and her family had been hiding Jews and eventually were caught, arrested, and taken to the concentration camp, and they were in Barracks 28. And as she tells the story, a place was reeking, and suddenly she felt something biting her leg. Fleas, she writes. I cried, Betsy, the place is swarming with them. Here, and here another one, I wailed. Betsy, how can we live in such a place? Show us, it was said, she writes. So matter-of-factly, it took me a second to realize that she was praying. Her sister Betsy was praying. Show us, Lord. How can we exist in such a place? And she finally said, Corrie, he has given us the answer. Something they were reading earlier from 1 Thessalonians and the New Testament. They came to it and read the text. go on reading through this 1 Thessalonians until they came to this: rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. And Betsy said, that's it, Corey. That's what we need to do. We need to give thanks even in this circumstance, even in the circumstances of this flea infested place. Corey said, I can't. I'll try to give thanks for everything, but not for the fleas. And Betsy insisted, we have to be thankful in every circumstance. Later, one day Betsy was wondering, along with Corey Ten Boom, why it was that the guards never came in their barracks. So they never found their hidden Bibles. They never discovered the secret worship services that they were having that were so anointed. They never heard them praying their prayers or encouraging one another. And Lord, the guards, for some reason, never came in. And Betsy discovered it one day because she heard some of the guards talking. And one of them said, it's time to go in there and check out the barracks. And she heard one of the guards say, I'm not going in there. The place is infested with fleas. And they found out there was a blessing in the fleas. Everybody's being impacted differently during these days. And this season will come to an end. But in our lives, we're going to face times that feel very dark. And Jesus is the light of the world. Let's ask him, Jesus, how do you see this even when things feel tough? And I believe he'll begin to open your eyes that in the midst of the darkness, his light shines. And out of the toughest times, God brings about good for his own name's sake. Jesus loves you. He sees you. And he has the power to bring good out of these days. You'll see. And that's the gospel.
Alan Wright, you're listening to Sharing the Light and today's teaching. Here's Mud in Your Eye. It's from the series Peace in a Pandemic, The Power of Seeing the Crisis Through the Eyes of Jesus. Very timely series for the state of our world. And Pastor Alan is back with us in the studio in just a moment with today's closing thought.
Stress is inevitable. Becoming stressed out is optional. You can't avoid the stresses of life. Life will always bring its stressful seasons. There are busy seasons, difficult seasons, and there are seasons of outright spiritual attack. We all know that life can be stressful, but by the power of the gospel, you don't have to be stressed out in the midst of it. In fact, the stressful times of life can lead you into deeper places of trust and peace in the Lord. If you want to grow deep during stressful times, there's no better place to turn than the Psalms. There's a psalm for every season. We want to send you Pastor Allen's CD album, Growing Deep During Stressful Times, a psalm for every season. Stressful seasons come and go, but you can grow deep roots in the grace of God that will enable you to stand strong no matter what. Make your gift today and discover how to grow deep during life's most stressful times.
When you give today, we will send you today's special offer. And we're happy to send this to you as our thanks from Sharing the Light Ministries. Call us at 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. Or come to our website, sharingthelight.org. Back with Pastor Alan, and this is an interesting title, but a very timely message that we're in here. Here's Mud in Your Eye. And so what's our closing thought you want to leave with listeners?
When we feel like all of life has gotten blurry, it would seem like the last thing that you would want is for something to be even more confusing. So the irony of the story, Daniel, is that a blind man, the last thing he needs is mud in his eye. Mud doesn't clear things up. And I think part of the message for us is not just the unusual sign that Jesus used and all of its implications, but to say that sometimes when things are already unclear and then they get muddier, it makes us aware of how much we need Jesus. So here's what we really all need in the end, spiritually speaking, is not just to think, well, I don't see life clearly, but to have it where we realize we absolutely are lost and can't see at all. We're blind without revelation from Jesus Christ. And especially want to say to anyone listening now, if you feel that life is muddy, Jesus is the answer, and He awaits to clear your vision spiritually by a miracle. Accept His love, accept His grace today. Here's mud in your eye is in the end to say, here's Jesus to clear everything up.
This has been Sharing the Light with Alan Wright, a listener-supported production of Sharing the Light Ministries.